This is the Financial Compass with Matthew Brunner from Comprehensive Planning Associates. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Matthew provides his clients and prospects with the information that they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Matthew Brunner to help you find your financial direction.
Hello and welcome to the Financial Compass. My name is Matthew Brunner from Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD, also known as Compass. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call, 800-339-9252. Or you can visit us online at compass-ltd.com. While you're at the website, scroll on down to the radio section of the page. You can check out past shows, subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. The list is just ever growing. Now, one of the trickiest parts of retirement planning is determining how long your savings need to last. Think about this. While healthy habits can play a role in longevity, no one can predict exactly how long they'll live. None of us were given that crystal ball. Now, many financial services professionals advise their clients to plan for a lifespan of 95 years to help prevent running out of money in retirement. It's kind of the status quo in the CFP community, but is this still the right approach? Some people have some doubts about that. On today's episode, we'll take a deep dive into the wisdom of planning for age 95, explore what the latest data tells us, and hopefully we're going to be able to cover some essential financial planning strategies for retirement. But first, I want to introduce my co-host with the most, Tony Shore, who I suspect will still be hosting this show well into his maybe 110s.
110s. Wow. Yeah. You think I'm going to have a long lifespan?
Well, it's in your genes, buddy.
It is. I mean, everybody on my dad's side and a lot on my mom's side lived to 100, into their 90s or hundreds. But I mean, you've seen me take down an entire pizza, right?
That's
in
true.
One sitting. I mean, yeah, I don't think any of my relatives were doing that.
Oh, in one sitting, I've seen you take down more than one pizza.
No.
We were just talking about portions of the sitting.
Yeah. Well, seriously, I do hope to be doing this show for a long time to come, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Fair enough.
I am interested in today's discussion, but first I have to ask, Matt, how have you been? Are you getting a lot of calls from people who are panicking about the market still, or, you know, the tariffs and the economy? And
no.
Good. All right. Well, that answered that. Moving on.
So I have discussions with people who don't work with me about their terrors and fears.
Yeah.
Again, not to kick a dead horse, when you do enough planning, you have the wherewithal to kind of cross these deserts.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's no reason to worry. I think it's more important that it's my job to worry than the clients.
Yeah. Because they have a plan in place,
yeah,
and they know you're watching these things. And yeah, I think that's so important. It just illustrates, at times when the market is down like this, or we have a bear market, or there's uncertainty as far as economy, things like that goes. If you have a plan in place, you're good to go. You know, you don't have all your eggs in one basket, right?
There's that. Yeah. And maybe it's my philosophy that it's kind of those things. The only thing that's certain is uncertainty, right? I use history as a guide because I feel it's the only guide we have. You can pontificate about prognosticate and all sorts of P words to like think about the future, right? But we have these trends we've seen. We know what more often than not kind of how the movie ends. Do I love every policy of every president of every administration? No. Do I think that they have some benefits if everything else was right? Sure. I don't, but I try to stay relatively agnostic about that. And we try and plan to what we know has changed and what's coming up. Right. So there we know. We don't know what we don't know. I think that's, we all should know that part. right. And, but we have to go on what we've always known to be true. The sun's always come up tomorrow. Sure. Science tells us someday and somewhere in the millions of years ahead of us, that sun will cease to exist. That's not going to happen in mine, my children, or my grandchildren's lifetime. So I want to make sure that I do all the best planning at the very least for those three generations of people.
There you go. I think that's great. Boy, when you scared me there for a second, though, when you said the sun will come up tomorrow, I thought you were going to break into Annie.
Oh,
I thought you were going to
wait for it. I can't do it when you expect it.
That's true. Yeah, please don't. No. But yeah, we're talking about that plan that that you need in place to deal with volatile markets and things like that. When you come up with a plan for people, I know that a lot of times you want to plan out to like age 95 because people are living longer and longer, right? So
yeah, that's our default setting.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think about that? What are we going to talk about today?
All right. So there was a U.S. News and World Report article. Should retirees still plan for 95? I think it's got some good insights. I think it's also got some bad insights. Our default is 95. Why? And we'll get into this. I'm going to start with our default is 95. But yes, that doesn't mean we won't run other scenarios.
Right.
So if you're stuck with somebody who's only going to do 95, find a better person. If you find someone who won't go that far, find a better person. You need somebody that's going to work with you, right? So there was a study by HealthView Services found most retirees planning for 95 might be overly cautious. The report's highlighting that 95% of retirees in their 60s already have at least one chronic condition that could shorten their expected lifespan. Now, I think that's a little too fatalistic. One chronic condition, they call it, is obesity. You can fix that. It's not a life sentence.
Right.
So some chronic conditions can be fixed.
Yeah. Chronic conditions include diabetes, obesity, or overweight. And the technical term for obesity is the majority of people in America.
So. Unfortunately, but it's something.
Have you ever had a cheeseburger in your life? Yes, you're probably qualified for obesity.
So having some self-determination here helps, and you know some accountability to yourself will help. We talk about this all the time. Being healthy if you haven't done it yet, start. It's never going to hurt your situation. But see, here's the thing: despite some of that data, most of us are still going to use that 95-year benchmark when we're designing retirement income strategies.
Yeah, and let's talk about why. And you say it's important. We're going to talk about why. It is important to plan out at least until 95. And I would agree with you. And I wouldn't work with an advisor who wouldn't plan out at least that far, because I would rather err on the other side. Right. I mean, it's better to plan to age 95. And if you only live until 85, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Your money's going to go to your loved ones. Right. So,
All right. So there's some pluses and minuses to this. All right. So let's get into this. And why do we do this? Number one, most people, one of their greatest fears is outliving their money, even more so than public speaking for some folks.
Yeah.
I
have to speak publicly.
Yeah.
Shaking in my boots over here, buddy.
Listen, one of the biggest concerns retirees, just pre-retirees have, especially, what's this going to look like? Am I going to outlive my money? And 95 may seem like an optimistic target, but people are generally living longer. So that increases your risk of running out of funds. So there's also some insights from different financial services professionals. One who automatically assumes all her clients are going to live to 95. She argues, it's conservative, but there's no real downside. If a client passes away before then, like you said, their assets are simply going to transfer to their loved ones. Assuming they did have a well-structured estate plan, financial strategy, those things. But what if you don't have other loved ones? So there may be, nothing is ever perfect for every scenario. So perhaps you don't have any, you didn't have kids. Maybe you don't have any other family. Leaving a ton of money to no one, if you maybe you're not specifically charitably minded. Leaving that money on the table might seem like a really bad idea for you. So having an understanding of what it will look like to live to 95, which is a very real possibility, and then running alternate scenarios and having the proper discussions, I think, is the best approach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a great approach, Matt. And, you know, no one wants to risk running out of money in their later years. Like you said, it's the number one fear. People fear it more than public speaking, more than death itself, yeah. Running out of money. Nobody wants their bank account to hit zero before their blood pressure does. That's what I always say.
Yeah. So some people, there's another, you know, person in the article, they say that planning for 95 helps clients prepare for increased healthcare costs as they age, speaking of your, you know, heart rate going to zero. Reality is, even if you don't live to 95, your expenses, especially for things like medical care, can rise significantly in your later years. So overfunding retirement could be that safer strategy than underfunding it. And again, it comes down, what's your support system look like? Are there other people there that can step in? Are you okay going Title 19 and letting the state make your medical decisions at that point? So there's a lot of discussions to be had, but I still don't see the hurt in it.
Oh, exactly. In fact, that's a great point. So let's look at what is the actual life expectancy today?
Oh, okay. So that HealthView survey, the data right now, a 65-year-old woman today has an average life expectancy of 90, while a 65-year-old man can expect to live until 88. Now, those are single life expectancies. It gets different when it's joint, if you're in good health, if you're non-smoking, exactly your age. There's some professionals that use 95 and think that target's excessive. There's one advisor quoted, and we've talked about this before. We've talked about different people in this article. They've kind of conglomerated some of this stuff. And this person noted that in over 20 years in the industry, he's only had one client live past 90. I think maybe authorities should be looking into that person.
Yeah.
I have so many clients past 90. Like,
that's ridiculous.
That blows my mind.
I read that in that study. I was looking at that study and I've read that and heard that. And, you know, I've worked with over the last 11, 12 years, I've worked with hundreds of advisors.
Yeah.
And I don't know any of them who they tell me, I've got this client who's 95. I've got one that's 98. I have a 101-year-old client that just passed away. I mean, they all have clients over 90.
And maybe some of that comes from doing the proper planning and reducing some of that stress out of people's lives.
Yeah.
Instead of perhaps having them.
I can't believe they found a financial advisor who has, I mean, maybe he had two clients.
Well, maybe there's
20
that.
Years.
Maybe they were really bad at providing income and their clients starved to death. I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know how that happened to this person. Maybe they lived in the most dangerous part of the country. Maybe it was all loggers.
That's
He just had all male loggers.
Where was he? I know. He had a firm in Afghanistan.
I don't know what that is, but it just blows my mind that they only had one person live past 90.
Yeah.
I have so many clients over 90. You know, like, I think most businesses, you have clients in their 20s, their 30s, you know, and multiple in all those decades.
Yemen Financial?
I don't know.
Where was he at? That's the thing.
Crater of a volcano, somewhere with massive toxicity in their water and soil. Yeah. I don't know. I can't figure that one out.
Because in the United States, I mean, there's, you know, you can't throw a rock without
hitting a 95-year-old someone. Don't throw rocks then, Tony.
I'm not gonna go there, but but yeah, I mean, it's that is kind of funny. So even if the majority of people out there listening aren't going to hit 95, longevity is increasing. We do know that, right?
Yeah. So, and again, what's the worst case scenario? Run two scenario. What the worst case scenario to me is run two. Here's what happens if you live to 95. Here's what happens if you live to what the government, like, take one of those tests. Take one of the insurance
Yeah, do one at 90, do one at 95. I mean, it's only 5 years. So
this is what the difference looks like. If you only live to when Social Security says you're going to live, here's what your plan's going to look like. And then recalculate it for what it's going to look like if you make it to 95. And guess what? If you get within that 10 years of 95, you should probably look at what it's going to look like to live to 100.
Yeah.
So
I would agree.
So then let's look at this. You said longevity is increasing. The number of Americans reaching 100 years old is expected to quadruple in the next 30 years.
Yeah.
So now granted, right now it's around 100,000. So that's going to be 420,000 is their guess by 2054. Now that sounds like a ton of people. And I guess if you weighed them, it would be way more than a ton. But keep in mind, by 2050, the total populations of Americans 65 and older is supposed to be somewhere over 82 million. So that means still most people won't hit 95, but 420,000 likely will. And having a strategy that accounts, as we've been talking about, for both possibilities is key. And I think there's no downside to structuring your financial plan for the possibility of reaching 95. I shouldn't say none. There's very few. For reaching 95. If you don't, your funds go to your heirs. If you have none, there's one possible downside. But if you do plan to there and your money falls short, that's a much more serious problem to have.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I would say that is a much more serious problem to have. And as a financial services professional yourself, how do you deal with that increasing life expectancy in terms of helping your clients protect their future income?
Well, you know, we have to look at some various factors, pretty much like all the other aspects of retirement strategy. Maybe like yourself, there's a history of longevity in your family. Like my family has a history of and it may, especially if they have an exceptionally healthy, active lifestyle, they've got a great social network. They have a really high likelihood of reaching 100. In those cases, I think your professional should do like we've been talking about, run those multiple scenarios, give them the understanding of all those different outcomes. Maybe you have enough to get to 90, but beyond that, things could get tight and then you adjust, you tinker, you do all those little things you should be doing in those first stages anyway. Some people tell you some planning software struggle to accurately model expenses as client's age, but if you're working with a CFP and a seasoned advisor who, let me get this straight in everybody's heads, there's no law against who can call themselves a financial advisor.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately,
it could be some idiot on Reddit who just, you know, has some blog and I'm a financial advisor. Are you? Certain professions have a very specific thing you need to go through to call yourself an advisor. I think at the very least, the litmus test is, do they have a fiduciary responsibility to you? I think that's the very lowest bar that should be set for people to be able to call themselves a financial advisor. And the more people have done this, and the more, if they have a fiduciary responsibility to you, they're going to have these talks because they're going to need to do things in your best interest. Now, a lot of people are going to have, you know, that transition in their life where things are good. You've got no significant medical concerns. Life is, you know, moving along, but your spending patterns are going to shift regardless. So knowing what those are, when those might happen, can absolutely extend the longevity of your retirement plan, your retirement income, your guaranteed income, all those other factors and variables. So again, look at it from multiple perspectives. If you're okay, if one of your biggest fears is outliving your money, plan to 95. If you're like one of my, if my clients listening and they did a test and they believe they're going to make it to 84, well, then know what it looks like there too. And then you can kind of split the difference sometimes or make some of those other adjustments. But even that person that believes they're going to be gone to 94, I want to know that they're at the very least going to be okay to 90, because the last thing I want to see for anyone is them eating cat food under a bridge because they didn't plan properly.
Right. Nobody wants to run out. And you might be thinking about, okay, I want to leave X amount. Okay, let's try to figure this out and look at family longevity. But, you know, a lot of people, it's human nature. Not everybody. Some people err the other direction, but most people don't believe they're going to live as long as they do. You know, I mean, the majority of people you talk to, when you say, Matt, you know, I thought, you know, I was a wild kid in college and high school and I jumped motorbikes and, you know, whatever. I'm like, I'll be dead before I'm 30.
Yeah. So that's,
I mean, a lot of people just assume they're not going to live that. Oh, I don't eat that healthy. I'm going to be. And, you know, they could live to 100. I mean,
yeah. So you have, when you're a teenager, you have no concept of mortality, essentially.
Right.
And God zero. Bless them for having that.
Right.
But at the same time, 30, you might as well be dead. So like you can't conceive being as old, as possibly as old as 30 when you're 16.
Right.
And yet. We can't even struggle with mortality. We struggle wrapping right. our head around. And then you're 30 and you realize, oh my gosh, wasn't I just 16? Then you're 50 and you're still thinking like a 30-year-old. You're like, how did my parents do this? They were so wise and smart. And then you talk to them, they're like, no, I was just like you at that point.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
and I'm in my late 50s and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to make it till 90. I don't even need to worry about planning for that. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Oh mm-hmm. no, we don't need to. No,
You know what else I hear a lot? 93-year-olds saying, I never thought I'd make it this far.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure.
And then some of them I hear, unfortunately, when I'm like, you know, here's your plan goes to 100. Oh, please, no. And then some like only 100.
Yeah.
So it runs the gamut. And so,
it does.
Again,
it does.
Don't stick yourself in one box. And if your financial professional only has one box to put you in, they are not concerned about your situation.
Yeah,
as not, much as they should be, at the very least.
They're not doing their due diligence because you need to look at all the options and see mm-hmm. what's going to best fit your particular circumstances and goals.
Yeah. And what are some of the ways you can do this? There's another thing. There was a Bankrate article, retirement planning checklist, 5 key steps to being financially prepared. I think this is a pretty good resource. And these are things we've been talking about for years, but for some reason we like to quote articles that, you know, rehash the things we've been telling people to do for a long time. And sometimes they listen better.
Yeah.
First step, define your retirement savings goals. You know, you have to ask yourself some big picture questions. What's your dream retirement lifestyle? How are you going to make the most of your free time? A lot of financial advisors, financial professionals suggest aiming for about 80% of your pre-retirement income to sustain your lifestyle after you stop working. I'd say that might work if you look at it for your entire retirement, or what we had a word for that at one point. I think I messed up that you clipped, but you want to make sure that you understand too, you're probably going to spend more early on. And then you're going to slow down below that. And then you're probably going to spend more again a little later on. And that later on is usually due to your medical care. And earlier on is probably because you are just doing more with your free time. Again, this it's just not a universe. There's rules of thumb, but you should not expect every rule of thumb to be your path. You know, maybe your dream retirement includes world travel, fine dining, 5-star hotels. 80% is not going to be enough, but maybe you like the quiet life. Maybe you're a little bit more like me. You like working in your garden, hanging out in the woods, going for a hike, maybe occasionally going to a movie. 80% is probably going to be more than enough for me.
Yeah.
One of the keys to success is having that plan that fits your specific needs. You really want to know what your daily life's going to look like. What's your car situation? What's your house situation? How often are you going to eat out? How often are you going to cook? What are my hobbies going to be? What's my social circle look like? If you're hanging out with people who are always doing things, guess what? You're always doing things. If you have those friends, like you're trading plants at the beginning of the season, you might visit their garden. Might walk around their garden, but you're probably not. And you're probably going to eat a meal cooked with those vegetables, right? Rather than going out somewhere else. So know what your life is more than likely going to look like, and you'll get a little closer to what you're actually going to need.
There you go. I really like that. I think that's great. So do you want to keep going with this? Do you have anything else you want to add before we go here?
Let's just reiterate. Let's conglomerate what we've talked about here.
Sure.
I think we keep moving back to it, but the lesson I want people to take away from today is you're not going to hurt yourself by planning to 95 unless your goal is to do more things than your current plan allows. Why I'm saying this is if you're just going like on the old 4% rule and you're planning to 95. And that means you can only take one trip at like $1,800 a year early on in your retirement. And it's going to stop you from actually enjoying your retirement. Maybe you need to look at another way to plan. Maybe there's some other things you need to give up or a slightly different investment strategy, saving strategy, spending strategy, whatever it might be. But having those different options and having those honest conversations, having somebody that knows you're probably going to spend a little bit more now, a little bit less here, a little bit more there, and they're willing to put the work into the plan so it's built right and it's not just, you know, auto-generated by their software. They're going to have to click a few more buttons and think it through a little bit more for you. They should. That's what you're paying them for, is their expertise and their ability to do the things you need to get done to make sure your retirement's supposed to look and be the way you want it. It's one thing for things to look one way and not function, but it's another for it to function the way you need it to be. So look at all those things. Look at your pre-retirement accounts. Look at your post-retirement accounts. How are they positioned? Look at your now stuff. If you have 401ks and maybe there's a Roth option in there, knowing where to actually put the right parts of your investments. If you're not just full throttle in equities, then you're going to need to have, you want to make sure your, even your pre-taxed accounts and your post-tax accounts have the right things in each. There's a lot of work to be done. It doesn't mean you have to maintain it all. There's some homework for you to do early, and then your advisor and your planner are going to help keep you on track to do that and monitor that stuff so that they worry at night and you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key. You want to be able to sleep well at night, not have to worry, not have to watch the markets going up and down. Yeah. You want to make sure that you're not worried about where your money is at or how long it's going to last. You want to make sure you know you'll have the money you need as long as you need it. And that's the key to having a plan. So how can our listeners out there, Matt, get that plan in place? And they can set up a no charge, no obligation consultation with you, correct?
That's true. Find someone that does it like us or get in touch with us. You can call us by calling 800-339-9252, or you can visit us online at compass-ltd.com.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And listeners, that does it for today's episode of The Financial Compass with our host, the man with the plan, Matt Brunner.
Thank you for listening to The Financial Compass. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound retirement plan. For more information, please contact Matthew Brunner at Comprehensive Planning Associates. Call 800-339-9252 or visit their website at compass-ltd.com. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Insurance products and services, fee-based financial planning, and investment advisory services are offered by Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD. Compass, a registered investment advisor in the state of Connecticut. Securities are offered by Gretchen Brunner and Matthew Brunner through Gradient Securities, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 866-991-1539. Member FINRA, SIPC. Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD, Compass, and Gradient Securities, LLC are not affiliated companies. Gradient Securities, LLC and Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD, Compass are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Please refrain from posting reviews of your experience, as this may be considered testimonials and are prohibited by the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. Like should not be considered a positive reflection of the investment advice services offered by Gradient Securities, LLC, GS, and or their investment advisor representatives.